with me into Mark chapter 11. And I'm not going to try to explain a whole bunch because I want to get right to it. So the scripture reading that we're starting off with is actually something that happened on Monday right after Palm Sunday. And I just thought it was fitting for today. You know, I'm not going to go through the, you know, when we had a Good Friday service here Friday, I went through the, you know, Monday all the way up through Friday. We're not going to do that. We're going to get straight to the Good Friday and then resurrection. So here it is, Mark chapter 11, verse 12. On the following day, when he came from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. So basically what this is a teaching moment. And you can do these with your kids or whoever it is while you're out in nature and walking around and talking about all the great things that God has done. He looks at this tree and he says, you know, it wasn't time for the figs yet. So he cursed it and he said, "You may never bear fruit again." What he was talking about was Christians who look the part. I'll go over here. I don't want to talk to you. I'll go back here anyways. There's somebody over here I got to talk to. They look the part, but they never actually bear fruit. I mean, they get... Dr. Z, they got the bumper sticker. They're iced out. Senior people don't know what I'm talking about, iced out. They're like, "What's he doing?" My kids let them know, the pastor's iced out today. You got the jewelry. They go to church. But what I call them, Terry, are secret agent Christians. Secret agent, nobody, you're running around everywhere and this, that, and the other. Nobody's looking at you. They go, "Man, well, I never really knew you were a Christian." They ought to just not know you're a Christian by your hallelujah, but by the way you walk and the way you talk. And watch this, and the way you don't talk. Amen. I tell you what, let's just pray on that note. I was going to go with, but that got on you. I got to, and we got a video for you. You might like, Lord, we don't need any secret agent Christians. That's an embarrassment that people don't know we're Christians. They ought to know we're Christians by our love. They ought to know we're Christians by our speech. They ought to know we're Christians not because we attend church on Sunday, but that's what us and our family stand for. So, Lord God, today we pray for the congregation and those who are watching the broadcast from wherever, that you touch the heart today in a mighty way on this wonderful celebration Sunday. And we ask that the offering be blessed as well and the hands that give. And we lift up those who are less fortunate today. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So applaud the Lord. Let the basket come by. Let's roll the video.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. it. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the weak. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
King, celebrate, celebrate. That's my King. That's my King. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor to back up a little bit. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's getting sticky in here. Mark 15, and once you get there, I'll just ask you to stand one more time, and we're going to pray over the word, and you can sit down and in our cushy chair. So rise with me if you got a copy of the Bible, turn there. We're just going to start from Good Friday. It's a good place to start. So Lord, oh, I believe that this could be the start of a great relationship for somebody that's here today who's not saved. They could get born again. They could repent of sin. They could be cleansed. And they could leave here, Lord God, with a spring in their step and praise on their lips. I thank you, Lord God, that your grace is sufficient. And that you show yourself to everyone gathered here today on Resurrection Day. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One more time, applaud the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So we're going to start from here, and I'm going to take you into the Resurrection Sunday. So starting out here on Good Friday in Mark 15, it says, as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, and they led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. This is where the story starts to get interesting, and you actually find out what humanness really looks like. I know a lot of times we get so high on ourselves and think we're so great, and we've done all these great things and all that. And, you know, I was telling people here just like in the last week or so, or maybe the last couple of weeks as Holy Week has been approaching, I've just been taking more and more inventory of myself. And when you take inventory of self, you actually realize how bad you need to be delivered. I mean, I'm thinking about that. And then so I'm thinking about that and I'm going, okay. And sometimes even if you've been in church a long time, you just don't know if God can still do miracles. And I'm here to tell you he can. He can do anything. So I have to tell you this because my dad would be proud, and Moscow was his church. Last night, I got the blessing to sing with my daughter on stage. Amen. And my niece. Amen. I got to preach, and my brother was playing the drums. That's a miracle. I'm telling you right now, that's a miracle. Yeah, you'll have to trust in him, and I'm talking 11th hour trust. I'm not now while everybody's at church and everybody's patting each other on the back. These prayers might be done at midnight. They might be done early in the morning, and they might be repeated over and over again. Watch this. It'll be okay if you pray more than one time. Amen. You pray if you need it. You praise if you got it. So if you ain't got it yet, keep praying. God is, all I can tell you, Havy's God's faithful. Amen. He's faithful. I'm just on a high, and then afterwards, me and my family had our resurrection dinner all at Moscow. I had all my kids there, all my grandkids there. God's good, man. Amen. So take heart today. He wants to touch your life, and he's fixing to do that today. I believe that. I totally believe that. Let's listen to the story because it gets pretty sticky here. So let's go to verse 2. It says, and Pilate asked, "Are you king of the Jews?" And he answered, "You have said so." So just four words there in red. "You have said so." Jesus doesn't need to say a whole bunch. Jesus ain't like the world where he's got to be pumped up and beat on his chest and have so many followers and all that kind of stuff. That's us. We need affirmation from the other person on the other side of the keyboard. Amen. You know, whatever's going on in your heart and you're trying to relay on the other side of cyberspace how mad you really are at somebody on the other side by just pushing the caps button. Exclamation point. Oh, yeah. Oh, if I was there right now, oh, yeah. Jesus didn't need to. He didn't need to do all that. He was as cool as the other side of a pillow, man. When he come on the scene, even the believers that didn't believe knew who he was. Everyone knows that Jesus existed. You need to figure out who he is to you. Everyone knows that he existed. Everyone knows that he conquered the grave. You got to figure out today who's Jesus or you leave here mocking him again. Verse 3. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate answers it again. "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release them one of the prisoners for whom they asked. Now listen to this. And among them, rebels in prison and who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And I'm just going to kind of ad-lib here and just kind of tell you what's going on here. So every year they did this. And isn't this just like the world? They want to give all the credit to all the bad people. And they try to turn and twist and contort the resurrection day. Listen, you can't make evil out of resurrection day. No matter how hard you try, this is the day of the Lord. Conquered the grave and sin and death for you and for me. And it's a day of celebration. Don't let the enemy twist it on you. Man, this is... This is hard to even talk about. Who do you want us to release?
Barabbas.
We want you to release Barabbas. And then he asks, J.D., he said, what do you want me to do with Jesus, King of the Jews? Crucify him. Crucify him. And let his blood be on us and our children. That's how far out the world can get. Let me tell you something. You may speak a curse on your own life, but don't ever do it on your children. You are to protect your children. You are to raise your children. You are to teach your children the Word of God. Never curse your children. Stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. Amen? Go down to verse 18. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in purple cloak, twisting together a crown of thorns. They put it on him, and they began to salute him. Hail the King of Jews! And they were striking him on the head with the reed and spitting on him. Mama bear. Don't do that. Can you imagine someone spitting on your child? Oh, girl. You're going to get on them like. Amen. And you would say, did you just spit on my child? Oh, it's go time. And I don't care if we are in the church parking lot, but here's the deal. Sometimes people do the unthinkable. And what they're trying to do is add insult to injury. And that's what the devil always does. He can never get enough. So he tries to humiliate you, try to humiliate me, and all these kind of things like this. Listen to this. They mocked him. They stripped him of the purple cloak, and they put his own clothes on him, and they led him to be crucified. So listen to this, verse 23. It says, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him, dividing his garments among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. So now the ultimate form of humiliation, they're throwing dice for his clothes. They killed him, they beat him, they spit on him, they bloodied him up, they beat him unmanlike, and the ultimate form of humiliation, they cast lots to see who was going to get his clothes off of him. Isn't that just like the world? It's not enough to kill him. It's not enough to hang him on his cross. It's not enough to spit on him. We want his clothes. That's what evil looks like when it's manifested. It can never get enough. And some of you understand what I'm talking about. Feeding the flesh is a full-time job. Amen. And the story goes on. So here it is. And it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, the King of Jews. And with him they crucified two robbers, one on the right and one on his left. Isn't that just like Jesus being in between? A mess. And I thought about this. I thought about this when I see my brother up there playing the drums yesterday. Jesus came to set us free. Right there in the middle of our mess, Jesus came and delivered us. And just like these two thieves on a cross, and I know we always judge. We go, I'm not quite as bad as the Rankin boys were. That's what they say. But here's the deal. God don't judge against the curve. He judges against the cross. You got to match up to the cross, and the only way to do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. One on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple will rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross. So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him one to another, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, and we'll see if we believe. those whom crucified with him also rivaled against him. And in the sixth hour had come, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. In the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Elo, Elo, El Sambashani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even his own father had to turn his head because he couldn't look upon sin because he's so holy. He took the sin of the whole world to the cross, and those who believe can be saved. That's the message of the cross. And some of the bystanders hearing this said, behold, he is calling Elijah. And some ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let's see if Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus uttered with a loud voice and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top and to the bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw it in this way, he breathed his last. He said, truly this man was the Son of God. Now I'm gonna try to imitate this centurion. Oh, criminy! Hold up, and you can relate. Some of you cats can relate to this. And when you went a bridge too far, I mean, you like to run around with the bad people, and then once you start to ride along and it goes a little too far, you're saying that. You go, you know what? We really screwed up. And that centurion's looking up, and the sky got black, and the tomb, the rocks were breaking open, the veil was torn, and all this stuff's going around. And the centurion's going, oh, dude, we really screwed up. And we're all laughing at the centurion, but the reason he's there is because of you. And because of me, we put him there on the cross, and he would do it again for you and me. So let's not fly it in his face and intentionally and willfully and habitually sin when we leave here today. Amen. And remember, sin is a choice. You don't have to sin. You sin because you want to. Amen. I don't know if preachers ever told you that, but we like to sin. That's what the flesh does. Go down to 42 and we'll start to bring some of it home here. So watch this. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he had already died. So let's think about this. Pilate was saying, I can't believe he's dead. It's just been hours. He died. See, it used to be that when you were crucified on the cross, it would take day after day after day before you would suffocate. And if you didn't suffocate quick enough, they would come by and break your legs. So you'd just hang there and you'd suffocate so you couldn't take a breath. But this went this way so Jesus could fulfill all prophecy. Amen. The whole prophecy. So let's see what he says here. So Pilate was surprised in verse 45 says, and when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud and taken him down, wrapped him in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. So if you know the backstory to this, they want to, you know, he was talking about, I'm going to rise 3 days later after I die. They put a stone in front of there. You ever notice how they try to keep Jesus down everywhere? They put a stone in front of him. They take the Bible out of school. They take the Bible out of here. They take it out everywhere. They don't want it on the internet, and they ban you if you say something about this or that. Here's the deal. The Spirit of God goes on no matter what happens, no matter what the world, no matter what they say, the Spirit of God will go forth. Here's the deal. You can't take the Spirit of God out of someone's heart who's been born again. And you can check that in John 10 if you're keeping score. It's in there. So I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about the stone being rolled in front of the tomb, and they're trying to, you know, keep Jesus down. And they go, hey, you know, we don't want him to get out, because if he gets out, you know, everybody's going to know the truth. And that's just like the world. They don't want you to know the truth. They want to try to feed you bull and keep you in the dark. But you're too smart for that, because you're truth tellers and standard bearers. And the standard is the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's what happens here. Verse 47, we're getting real close. Hang in there. Mary Magdalene and the Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the Mary, And Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices. So this is the way they used to embalm people. They put spices on them, and it would help control the odor and stuff like this, and the animals and all this kind of thing. So this is what they were doing. So they were followers of Jesus, Don, but they still believed he was probably in the tomb. I mean, you guys believe in Jesus, but you don't really believe in his miracles anymore. I mean, they said they believed in Jesus, and they're followers of Jesus. They're shouting, hallelujah, he's our Lord. If you really believed that Jesus was your Lord and Savior, you wouldn't have came with spices. You wouldn't try to embalm a body that's not there. Amen? That's what we need to start to believe is in the supernatural, because that's how God operates. When you take your natural and his supernatural and you put them together, you get a Holy Ghost explosion. Can I get a witness from God's people? Amen. You can rise. We just got about four verses left. It don't take long. So they're going to anoint him. And I'm going to church, but I don't really expect anything to happen. I just want to go to get this done because it's Easter and they bugged me. And if I don't go, my mom will be mad. Hey, God can use anything to get you in church. Amen? Got me and my brother there. What the heck? God's in the miracle business. That's the business God's in, is miracle business. And if you're dreaming all these dreams and they're in the natural and you're not looking for the supernatural, you don't need God. You just do that on your own. But if you're looking for supernatural, then invite God into that. And he can change your life. I don't care how far you're gone. You could be way out there. The gospel is for cats that are way out there. it ain't for the healthy people. Healthy people are good. It's for the people who are sick, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Jesus died for all that so he could defeat that with you, amen, through his blood and through his spirit at the cross at Calvary. You can start, Miss Carol. I'm just going to say this. Trace, I'm just going to say this. There is no secret or mystery about Jesus. He came for everybody. Christianity is a religion that's based in love, not hatred and bigotry. It doesn't work any other way than love. Let's make that applicable today. Let's figure out how we do this. You'll have to give up just wherever you're at. You're just going to go, you know what? Done. And here's the thing. Don't try to do it on your own, because it won't work. I tried to do that. Remember, like, I'm not gonna like drink as much as I used to sometimes. I'm like, what the heck is that? You said that because you know when you leave here. Hey man, I used to bring beer to church until I got delivered. Don't give me a golf clap on that. Delivered 25 years ago and ain't been back. Not even a bit. It's not that I quit, I got delivered. There's a big difference. Don't give me I quit. You ain't got the power to quit. You got reeled in like everybody else. And I'm just talking about my sin. You got yours. Just thank God you ain't got to be up here telling it. I hope there's an example in the Bible about somebody being, let's see. It was very early in the next week, verse 2, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Still getting ready to embalm. I thought this Jesus was a miracle. Miracle! He's a miracle where he heals people. He walks through walls. He lays hands on the sick. He raises people from the dead. He gets people born again. Do you know what a miracle is? Look, I just don't even turn anywhere except to your neighbor right there. Just look right at him or her right there, right where you're at. Just look at him. Just take a look at him. Act like you love him anyways. That person is a miracle. They're a miracle. Don't walk in this church and act like you, well, I'm doing this so I can get out of here real quick. No, you're a miracle because you didn't want to come, but you came anyways. And it wasn't your mommy that brought you. It was the Holy Ghost. Hey, don't look around. Don't look around. God's talking to you today. I remember on this altar call 20-something years ago. I was in a little Baptist church. I was sitting as far back in the back as I could get. You remember that? We're getting, in case he said something real holy, I could run out the back door. And I said, I'll never go back into that church again and listen to that old man. I'll never listen to him again. It was Pastor Savage, one of the greatest. They all knew who I was when I came in. They all knew, every single one of them knew. They go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this guy came here. He knew exactly what was going on with me. Are you hearing me, church? And watch this. Now I'm that old man. I know it goes on out there. And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And they entered the tomb. Now, let me tell you something, Dave, about the stone being rolled back. Jesus didn't roll the stone back so he could get out. He rolled the stone back so people could go in and find out that he wasn't there. And looking up, they saw the stone rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. I don't know about you, but if I'm looking for Jesus and I go in a dark cave and I see some cat sitting on top of a rock here, he's glowing and white, I'm like, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I'd be like, Rod Serling's coming out of the cave. Young people are going, who's Twilight Zone? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's see what he says. Maybe he's got a message. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Say it with me, class. He has risen. Give glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a miracle worker. And then we're going to get to the message. Here it is. He's not here. See the place where he laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going before them to Galilee. He says, there you'll see him. He prophesied that. He goes, when you all go to Galilee, he said, I'll be there. And they fled from the tomb, trembling in astonishment, and seized him. And said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Let me tell you something about Mary. There's something about Mary. There's something about Mary Magdalene that just is amazing. You know, if you read the Bible, some people would interpret that she was a prostitute. Some would think that she might be the one that opened the alabaster jar of oil and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. And people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, looking in the window going like this, going, boy, if he only knew who she was. I think he knew who she was. That's why he... He knows who you are. We don't need to come to church and go, oh, if he only knew. He knows. He created you. And I know there's going to be a move on the altar so you can start walking up. So watch this. I want to tell you something about Mary Magdalene. She had 7 devils cast out of her. She was possessed. You ever seen what it looks like when somebody's possessed by the devil? I have. It ain't no joke. It ain't no cartoon. It ain't no Hollywood movie. When you have been possessed by the devil, the only way to get the devil out is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think that Mary Magdalene was the first one to the cave? Why was it that Jesus revealed himself to Mary Magdalene first? Here's the deal. When you have been delivered from much, you got much to shout about. I mean, I want to talk to just somebody who's been delivered from a lot. I want you to put your hand up. I mean, I'm talking, Jesus delivers from addictions of all kinds. He heals. He loves. And so every time people see Mary Magdalene, after she had the devils cast out of her, she said, I ain't never going to miss church service. I ain't never going to miss a prayer breakfast. I ain't never going to miss Bible study. I'm not going to miss an opportunity to praise God, because I remember who I was. I looked in the mirror and saw who I was. Jesus has delivered me and cast out the devil. Hey! You know, I think sometimes we want to, and we should get over that, because that's the old man, and we're going to walk in newness. And I'm not telling you to resurrect that at all. But Troy, what I'm trying to say is every once in a while, I call it inventory. If you just walk in front of a mirror and you kind of look at the mirror, Bruce, and you just go, you know what? I know who that guy really is. He's nothing without Jesus in him. He's nothing. Or that woman, you walk by the mirror, you know when you've been born again, you're beautiful not only in the eyes of your husband, but you're beautiful in the eyes of God. God loves you more than you'll ever know. And you were bought with a price. So here's the deal. Watch this, Lamonis. Wouldn't this be the greatest day you can think of to be saved? To be saved on Resurrection Day? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you just to pause for just a second and close your eyes and just think about this. I can be saved just for the asking. I could just be saved right here. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Just raise your hand right where you are. I want you to come into my life. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want you to come and live in me. I want to be a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ. Not the same old, same old. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Dietrich, I want to be delivered. Who would like to be delivered from sin and death? Mick, it's the greatest feeling in the world. The greatest. You can celebrate this, John, daily. And this can be your spiritual birthday. This is the day I gave my life to Jesus. The greatest day you'll ever have, ever. I see the hands. And if you made a real profession for Christ, I'm going to ask you, help escort some people down here who's got their hand raised. Come down here as you give your life to Jesus, this one here. So we got some people. Let's applaud these guys for the decisions they make. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to shout a little bit.
a new birthday. I said it's a new birthday.
Here's the deal. What we're doing is getting ready for eternity.
Amen. Eternity's a long time. Wouldn't you like to have a house up on Mansion Row? Can you imagine that, me having a mansion?
I'm so glad that this young lady has neighbors that love her. You know, your neighbor's one invite away from church. This young lady has all kinds of things going on in her world, and her neighbors invited her. Her friends invited her to this church. When she walks out of here, she'll never be the same. She'll never be the same. Never be the same. We're going to pray for her. And let me pray for you saints that are here today. All you that are believers already, do this. Do this right now. Father God, it's an emotional time, isn't it? There's something, watch this. There's something really going on in this church this morning, isn't there? There's a resurrection of a new person here today. Oh, what a great place to be. I love being in church, don't you, on a Sunday morning? With friends. I love being with friends. We all came voluntarily. We just want to be here with friends. So let me pray a prayer for you if you're one of the saints who's been born again by the blood of Jesus. Today, Lord God, on this resurrection day, I lift my hand to you and ask you today to help me live for you daily. All you got to do, guys, is show up every day. And if you would like to start anew and you'd like to rededicate or recommit your life today, would you join me down here? Just slide out. I see your hands raised over there. Come down to the altar. I just want to pray for you as you rededicate your life. Come on down, friend. Come on down. Come on down, friend. Come on down. As we rededicate our lives, come on. I see you two right there. We're just going to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for all these wonderful people who are rededicating, committing, maybe starting over again in their life. They may have been through bumps in the road this week, last week, maybe been a month ago, maybe a year ago, and they go, we just want to start out a new day. Aren't you glad that God allows U-turns? Keith, I'm glad God forgives. Now I'm going to pray for y'all. Pray for y'all. Hallelujah. You can start praising God if you want to right now. Father God, I want to pray for all these people that are here. All the people. All the people. And especially this young lady who just gave her life to you, Lord. We love it when people are born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this child. She was lost, but now she's found. Amen. She's your child now, Lord God. We thank you for her giving her life to you and being born again. We thank you for a church that loves people right where they're at. And we give you all the glory on this resurrection day that we have conquered the devil, sin, and death. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, his church said amen.